for details.
Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
There's this incredible headline, as you know, on ESPN, describing Jeremy Lin, chink in the armor. That was taken down. The network apologized, and I just got handed a piece of paper a few minutes ago, ESPN announcing that the employee who was responsible for that headline has been fired, and the anchor who read it has been suspended for 30 days. But that was just one example of the media's play on words about Lin's heritage.
Well, chink in the armor is definitely offensive. You know, I'm not going to say what the penalty should or should not be. It was definitely offensive. It's hard to believe that it got in, but ESPN does this all the time. They do offensive things, and then they try to backtrack. You know, this stuff is going to happen, and I think, you know, in a sense, we have to get over it. It certainly hasn't hindered Jeremy Lin's popularity.
That's CNN's Howard Kurtz with Buzz Bissinger from the Daily Beast. They're talking about the Jeremy Lin headline that got one ESPN writer fired and the anchor was suspended. Sports talk radio and talk television, including all the buzz surrounding Jeremy Lin, again this week, number 10 on the countdown. I'm Doug Steffen. Welcome into our overview of what's going on in the world of talk radio, talk television. It's the week ending Friday, February the 24th. That we're reviewing the top 10 hits in talk radio, determined by the staff at Talkers Magazine. Number 9, the continuing conversation about the death of Whitney Houston. Here are our hosts Susan Rose and John Zach talking to journalism professor Lee Coppola about the National Enquirer running a picture on their front page of Whitney Houston in her coffin.
It seems twisted and insensitive. Is this another low for the National Enquirer?
Well, I don't know if the National Enquirer can get any lower, actually. You know, it's achieved lows all through its career as a newspaper. But in the world of tabloid journalism, I guess the National Enquirer ranks right up there because that's what tabloid newspapers do.
Well, you know,
that word tabloid, not because of the size of the paper, because of the way it reports.
Well, you know, Lee, I'm sure you'll agree, photojournalism ethics have certainly changed and improved over the years, but way back in the 1920s and 30s, it was common and routine for newspapers to publish photos of dead people. Remember when gangsters were gunned down by the police, you'd see their bodies full of bullet holes?
But one of the things you teach in an ethics class, which I did teach, is you don't show pictures or photos of dead persons. Now, major news magazines and covering wars often do that, but that's to show the effect of war. But accident victims and things of that nature, you just don't show them. I do remember an award-winning picture taken by the former Buffalo Courier Express, a photographer, of a woman jumping to her death from the Genesee Hotel. I don't think that would be shown today.
You know, it also reminds me of controversy when Elvis died. There was a photo of him, a dead Elvis photo in 1977. But do you remember, was there a lot of outrage over that?
No, not so much, I don't think. I think this one is, because I think the ethics have changed over the years, and the public has become averse to something like that now. So I don't think there was much outrage at the Elvis death. And, of course, you know, this Whitney Houston thing is all over the media. So I would imagine that the National Enquirer considers this a coup.
This photograph supposedly was taken during a family private viewing at the funeral home in Newark, New Jersey. Does it sound like a family member or somebody at the funeral home might be responsible? And, you know, in this digital age, it might not be difficult to track down the source.
Well, that's true, but obviously it would seem to me that whoever took that picture was rewarded immensely by the National Enquirer, financially speaking. So it could have been someone who was in need of money, desperate for money. That might rule out family members, but that might not rule out people from the funeral home.
And for the National Enquirer, is this a way to keep this story alive, if you will, you know, a week and a half after her death?
Well, let's put it this way, Susan. We're all talking about it. It's on the major news outlets now, the outrage. And that's going to force a certain segment of the populace to go to the supermarkets and buy the National Enquirer.
Up next, the Stolen Valor Act, the Greece bailout, and corporate tax reform, all in the focus on the Talk Radio Countdown Show, Weekend Edition.
Are you putting your money into an IRA, pension, or 401k? Then I hope you're prepared to lose 30, 40, 50% or more of your retirement savings. Because it's not a question of if the market crashes again. It's a question of when. It's going to happen. Did you know there is a way you can protect and grow your wealth safely and predictably every single year? The people using this approach didn't lose a penny when the market crashed in 2000 or 2008, and they won't lose a penny in the next crash. In fact, their money will continue to grow safely year in and year out, even when stocks, real estate, and other investments tumble. A free report detailing this savings program is now available. This free report shows how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your retirement in the Wall Street casino. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement. It far outperforms any IRA or 401k. To get this free report, visit bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com. Bankonyourself.com.
Motorcyclists often seem rather intimidating. Rough and tumble. Real bad mamma jammers. Little do folks know, they can actually be quite sensible. Especially if they insure their motorcycle with Geico along with their car. Geico's multi-policy discount could save them quite a bit of money. Did I just say bad mamma jammers? Do you ever say something and think, I wish I'd never said that? This is one of them times.
Call Geico or visit geico.com today to see how much our multi-policy discount could save you.
Listeners are discovering a simple way to earn money. We're talking quit your nowhere job and work from home type of money. IncomeAtHome31.com has come to us for listeners who want to work from home. Listen to this.
I have to tell you, it's the best decision that I ever made because we replaced my income and my husband's income. This business has allowed us to quit our jobs and we're both at home full time and loving it. Best decision I ever made.
Listeners, IncomeAtHome31.com is A-plus rated for their business ethics. They're affiliated with a multi-billion dollar company and they do business in over 75 countries. No selling soap, no pressure, no cold calling. They bring money-making opportunities to your computer, either full or part-time. If you're ready to make a change and start earning money from home, go to IncomeAtHome31.com now. They're even giving away $1,000 to someone just for checking them out. Visit IncomeAtHome31.com. IncomeAtHome31.com. That's IncomeAtHome31.com.
In honor of Black History Month, Macy's and the Romare Bearden Foundation celebrate the 100th birthday of the African-American artist, innovator, and visionary, Romare Bearden. Join us at select Macy's locations nationwide for inspiring events that showcase his artwork and celebrate his legacy. Check your local newspapers or visit Macy's.com/celebrate for locations and details. Join us as we celebrate Black History Month. That's the magic of Macy's.
It's the Talk Radio Countdown program, the number 8 item on the countdown, the Stolen Valor Act. Host Scott Sloan talked to military analyst Colonel Dean Smittle about the controversy over whether the Stolen Valor Act is unconstitutional.
Well, here's the problem. This is the rub. I certainly never would purport to have received such a high honor as a Medal of Honor, something along those lines. I would never burn the American flag. But the great thing about the United States of America is that should be covered under free speech. Where's the damage in the case of the soldiers for me saying that I served in Vietnam and I was decorated with a Purple Heart or a Medal of Freedom or something like that?
Well, for example, the Medal of Honor has to be very, very well documented.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like the Purple Heart Medal.
Right.
Purple Heart Medal, you have to have two witnesses of the actual event. And then, of course, it goes through the process of being awarded. What you have is the sacrifices, for example, those who have been killed in action, who were awarded the Purple Heart posthumously. Whatever they've done is for naught. If you have a guy impersonates using a Purple Heart, a Medal of Honor on his chest, he violates that sacred to trust in combat for our troops being killed and sacrifices, Sloaney.
All right. I mean, I understand that aspect to it, but isn't that the great paradox as being an American is that you guys defend and fight for the rights to make me, to allow me to be a complete and utter idiot.
Well, the Supreme Court's really on the fence on this one. Of course, the right to free speech, that comes up. And Libby, the attorney for Alvarez, says, you know, we got to look at that. So it's going to be a real cliffhanger for the Supreme Court. And, of course, they met on this yesterday, and they're looking at that very carefully. But when you serve with guys in combat and you go through all that horrible, terrific episode of serving in combat, you see your buddies killed, this really riles you up when you have guy at a party and a bar stool saying he's served in the military, got the Purple Heart, and really didn't serve in the military at all. That really fries me.
Up to number seven on the countdown, the bailout of Greece. Financial analyst Peter Zeihan breaks down just what this latest bailout means.
In the early morning hours of February 21, Eurozone finance ministers reached what appears to be a final agreement on Greece's second sovereign bailout. Roughly $130 billion in new funds from Eurozone governments and the IMF, plus another 100 billion euro in write-downs by private investors, are formally intended to bring Greece's finances back into some semblance of sustainability within 8 years. There are no shortage of reasons to be doubtful that the bailout will work. Greece is massively indebted, even with the bailout and write-downs. Its economy has been in recession for 5 years, and considering the austerity on order, it's likely to be in recession for years to come, making it impossible for Greece to grow out of its debt. And Greece's political commitment to the measures are suspect at best. The Europeans who negotiated this bailout, however, know that Greece isn't salvageable. From Stratfor's point of view, the issue isn't so much the bailout or even Greece's unrecoverability. Both have been facts of life in Europe for months now. What is most dynamic about this week's event is the method of enforcement that the Europeans are attempting to attach to that bailout. The first layer of enforcement lies in Greek law. The Europeans are well aware that a 50-plus percent write-down is not something that the holders of Greek debt are exactly eager to accept, and many are betting that if they don't accept the write-down, that the Europeans will fully fund the bailout anyway, allowing their assets to avoid the write-down completely. To avoid that, the Greeks are threatening to change the law that allows bondholders to resist that write-down in the hopes of maintaining the full face value of their holdings. Critics say that such a unilateral change in terms would constitute a default, and technically, they're correct. However, it is all but certain that European institutions, most notably the European Central Bank, would interpret the laws differently. After all, there have already been several modifications to what voluntary means in order to push the bailout process forward.
Number six on the countdown, the president's corporate tax reform plan. Here's radio host Jimmy Barrett with economist Will McBride. They talk about the president's plan and the elimination of the loopholes a lot of businesses use to cut down their taxes.
One of the things that he wants to do, the president wants to do in return for lowering the corporate tax rate, is to reduce or eliminate many of the loopholes that businesses enjoy. So is your average business going to do better under the president's plan or worse?
Well, it's hard to say right now. It hasn't been scored, as they say. We don't know how much revenue will be raised or lost. But we have an indication from the administration they intend to raise taxes. Tim Geithner, Treasury Secretary, admitted in an interview that it would actually raise revenue by their estimates over 10 years. So this is a tax increase on corporations, and they do this by closing a number of loopholes, so-called loopholes, and actually closing some things that are not considered loopholes. For instance, they intend to reduce the deductibility of interest. So this is where they would raise a tremendous amount of money. So this is roughly this might raise this actually if they completely eliminate the deductibility of interest for businesses, this would double the revenue from the corporate income tax from $200 billion to about $400 billion per year. Now this is huge, depending on what they didn't specify the degree to which they intend to reduce it, but like I said, if they were to eliminate it, it would be absolutely a huge amount of revenue raised.
It sounds to me like that might really severely impact a lot of businesses' plans for expansion, for example.
Quite a bit, and it's pretty unprecedented. It's not since the beginning of the tax code, interest has been deductible. So it's quite radical, and that's just one example. But the text not even specified as to what degree to which they intend to reduce this deductibility.
Up next on the countdown, we will turn our attention to Syria and Afghanistan. That's up next year. Stay tuned to the countdown.
What if pain could be reduced, ailments could be alleviated, physical and mental stress could be eased, and blood circulation increased, all by simply lying down? Introducing the original Biomat. The Biomat is an FDA-registered medical device that combines deep penetrating infrared space-age technology and revitalizing negative ions with the incredible healing power of amethyst crystals. A Biomat can boost your immune system, relieve pain and stiffness, reduce stress and fatigue, and assist in detoxifying your body. Join the thousands of people reporting relief from chronic pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, sports injuries, insomnia, and much more. Each Biomat comes with a lifetime trade-in and three-year warranty. Learn more at bio-mats.com, spelled bio-mats.com, or call 360-944-8692. That's 360-944-8692. Visit bio-mats.com today and enhance your life with a Biomat.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every meat eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year plus meat eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the freeze-dry guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
I'm Doug Steffen, number five this week on our countdown of the hot hits in talk radio, violence in Syria. Here's host Jane Foy with CBS Middle Eastern correspondent Edward Uranian about suggestions made by Mr. Gingrich and Mr. Romney that time has come to arm the rebels in Syria.
Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney agreed that we should arm the rebels in Syria to help them against the Assad government. There is a meeting in Tunisia tomorrow, I believe it is, including Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, in which an organization, Friends of Syria countries, are going to meet to figure out some way to aid the protesters. Edward, the Friends of Syria meeting in Tunisia, who all does that involve? Do you have any idea?
Well, the Friends of Syria are France, the U.S., Britain, Turkey, some of the Arab states like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, who have been in the avant-garde in trying to help the Syrian people in their quest for freedom in this uprising that began last March, almost a year ago. And they've been basically talking about money and humanitarian aid. It doesn't seem as if they're planning to arm the rebels, although it really would depend on the Turks, because the Turks are the only party that has the ability to arm the rebels. They have a territory that's right near Syria. Lebanon is under the aegis of Hezbollah, which is a Syrian ally. The Lebanese government is not in a position to help the rebels, and that would be one the obvious inlet to Syria where weapons would go through. I think some weapons are going through from Lebanon, but it really couldn't be an organized thing. I think the Jordanian government is very reluctant to get involved in such a thing, and the Iraqi government is an ally of Iran and Hezbollah in Syria, so I doubt they would get involved either.
Number four in the countdown, what's going on in Afghanistan? Talk host Charlie Brennan with military analyst Mike Lyons. They talk about how our troops accidentally burned copies of the Quran and the violence and rioting that has since followed.
What exactly happened at this airbase?
Well, it was the burning of classified material that existed within a prison, as was determined that this material had written notes in it, and there was a concern that these notes were being used to send information back and forth within the prison. So it's decided that it had to be destroyed. What I'm trying to figure out, get my head around, or get to the bottom of is how is it possible that Afghan national civilians are present during the burning of classified American material? And so, you know, if that's the case, I mean, we're trying to figure out how the story breaks. The story breaks when an Afghan national shows a picture of a Quran that's been burned. Obviously, that there was an Afghan that was close to this burn pit or wherever it was. So the lack of oversight in getting a military mission done, if that was outsourced by the contractor, to a contractor, I'm afraid just shows that we are completely asleep at the switch right now.
Oh, do we believe this was outsourced to a contractor?
We don't know. I mean, the bottom line is there was an Afghan national present there. And so if that's the case, then in often cases when you contract out for these kinds of things, there might be an American contractor there, but then that gets subcontracted out to other Afghans. This is all part of this whole project to get Afghan nationals employed. So it just comes down to, you know, somehow an Afghan national got their hands on this burning Bible. How they got inside the wire, how they got into this burning pit, how they got into an area that was very classified, someone needs to answer for that.
Well, that's a question I hadn't heard raised yet, but this Islamic Detention Center apparently had a library and in it religious material, including Qurans, that contained what some described as extremist literature and clandestine communication among the prisoners. So it had to be handled in some way, but this is a very religious book in Islam. Some people wash their hands before touching it, right?
Yeah, no, it's clearly something that we do have known, should have known, that it's treated with complete reverence in that part of the world. You know, not something that, you know, maybe we can understand. Obviously, we have reverence towards our Bibles and our Torahs and our religious symbols. It doesn't cause us to go out and kill other people over it, that's for sure. But in this particular situation, it's caused 3 days of riots. Two Americans have lost their lives over it. And that's just, again, having a hard time getting my head around this fact that, as you had pointed out, 10 years, we still continue to make these kinds of mistakes.
Afghanistan, the fourth most talked about topic this week. So let's recap here. Jeremy Lin in the NBA, number 10, baseball season getting underway as well. Number 9, the aftermath of Whitney Houston's death. Number 8, the Stolen Valor Act. Number 7, the bailout in Greece. Number 6, the president's corporate tax reform plan. Number 5, all the violence taking place in Syria. Number 4, what's going on in Afghanistan. So that leaves us with numbers 3, 2, and 1. And they will all be up next here on this week's Talk Radio Countdown Show.
Listeners are discovering a simple way to earn money. We're talking quit your nowhere job and work from home type of money. IncomeAtHome31.com has come to us for listeners who want to work from home. Listen to this.
I have to tell you, it's the best decision that I ever made because we replaced my income and my husband's income. This business has allowed us to quit our jobs and we're both at home full time and loving it. Best decision I ever made.
Listeners, IncomeAtHome31.com is A-plus rated for their business ethics. They're affiliated with a multi-billion dollar company and they do business in over 75 countries. No selling soap. No pressure. No cold calling. They bring money-making opportunities to your computer, either full or part-time. If you're ready to make a change and start earning money from home, go to IncomeAtHome31.com now. They're even giving away $1,000 to someone just for checking them out. Visit IncomeAtHome31.com. IncomeAtHome31.com. That's IncomeAtHome31.com.
Hey, it's freezing back here.
Ugh. Yeah, close the window.
Yeah, no.
Why?
Sorry.
Oh, girl, what you need is Digestive Advantage Gas Defense.
It's a supplement.
Digestive Advantage from Schiff. Its dual-action formula acts quickly to stop gas before it starts when taken with a meal.
I take it every day.
It's good for you.
And with continued use, the healthy probiotic gives you long-term digestive support.
Road trip, and we won't need a convertible.
Works now and later. That's the Digestive Advantage.
What do we want?
We dance!
When do we want them?
Now!
How do we want them?
With 20% off!
Where do we want it?
At Ace!
Let's go!
Come into Ace this Saturday and get 20% off almost anything that fits into an Ace bag. So stop by, fill your bag, and get your weekend back. At Ace, the helpful place. Discount is off regular priced in-stock merchandise that fits inside one bag. Good at participating stores February 25th only. One bag and offer per customer. Other conditions apply. See store for details.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Take charge of your health. Get all natural innovative health products from the new AffinityHealthProducts.com. From weight loss to cold and flu remedies to better joint function, discover natural products you can trust online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. Like Lose and Snooze. Fact is, 90% of all diets fail. Why not try a completely new way of dieting? With Lose and Snooze, you can achieve weight loss while you sleep. Guaranteed. Reduce caloric intake, get a deep restorative sleep, build lean muscle mass, and keep your metabolic rate up to burn fat throughout the night and day. With all natural Lose and Snooze from AffinityHealthProducts.com. Include the one-day diet for a complete weight loss package. Order Lose and Snooze and the one-day diet and other all-natural products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com, spelled A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y, HealthProducts.com. Or call 877-888-7126. That's 877-888-7126.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Have you ever seen a U.S. postage stamp featuring Abraham Lincoln, Ben Franklin, or George Washington? If you're into stamp collecting, you know it's a fun, affordable hobby. America's leading stamp dealer is the Mystic Stamp Company, and they want you to have their free 140-page color catalog. Go to MysticStampAd.com, the website of the Mystic Stamp Company, serving stamp collectors since 1923. Mystic Stamp is well known in the industry for its experience, superior customer service, and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Go to MysticStampAd.com to request your free 140-page U.S. stamp color catalog packed with collecting tips, special offers, color photos, and over 4,600 available stamps. Call 800-433-7811 or go to MysticStampAd.com. That's 800-433-7811 and ask for your free U.S. stamp catalog or MysticStampAd.com. Mystic Stamp Company, America's leading stamp dealer.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Halfway through the hour with the Talk Radio Countdown overview of the hot hits for the week ending Friday, February the 24th. And as I said a few minutes ago, we're up to number three from Countdown affiliate WTMA in Charleston, South Carolina. Talk host Richard Todd with Congressman Tim Scott of South Carolina. They talk about what the government can do and what the government ought to do about the skyrocketing cost of fuel.
You know, a lot of people say, look, there's nothing the president can do. There's not much the federal government can do. There aren't really any short-term fixes, though there are some short-term things that I think could be done, like, you know, all the taxes that are in gallon of gas that is pumped. But there's some long-term things as well. I'd like to hear Congressman Tim Scott's ideas when it comes to dealing with gas prices that are higher than they ever have been for any winter in American history.
But when you think about the price of gas, the price of driving to the job fair for a veteran who's out of work, here's one of the pictures you have to have in the back of your mind. Here's the backdrop. $1.89 per gallon the first week President Obama took over. Last week, $3.52. This summer, over $4 a gallon. So $2 more than when he was elected, or 100% increase. And the question is, is there anything that can be done from a government standpoint? I would say the answer is absolutely. There's a lot that can be done. A couple of equations that we should consider. Wyoming and the Dakotas, the Balkan Shale, there is more recoverable oil in that part in soil drilling, not offshore, but in soil drilling that could bring us upwards of 76 million barrels on a constant basis. They say as high as a billion. If we can find new ways to recover oil, it could be a huge, perhaps one of the largest deposits of oil in our country. Second area, ANWR. 3% of ANWR, no environmental exposure, no animals. We could tap into less than 3% of ANWR and start a stream of oil coming in our direction without any question. The president president could sign offshore leases. We're talking today about working with Mexico. Mexico and America working in an area of the water of 9,000 feet deep. So we're talking about deep water drilling. Mexicans, they need our assistance to make this happen. The president's willing to negotiate and work with them. How about let American other companies drill far enough off of our shore to do deep water drilling to start the process of creating competition, which will drive the cost of energy down? And then, of course, the most obvious answer is, of course, the XL pipeline. That would create 22,000 immediate jobs in America and also bring more dependence in North America on that oil line, provide more resources.
Here's host Bob Murray talking to David Stakula of the Illinois Petroleum Council about the reasons for rising gas prices.
The price of gasoline, I looked across the street this morning, and it is $3.49 here in Springfield. I haven't seen anything higher than that, although there could be a station or two in town, maybe even higher than that. And a lot of the experts are saying we're going to $4 a gallon in maybe the next 2-3 weeks, and by the time June rolls around, $5 a gallon gasoline. And in some sections of the nation, they already have $4.50 a gallon gasoline. And our question, of course, is why?
Well, the big thing that the biggest single factor that causes gasoline prices to be where they are is the cost of crude oil. And all you have to do is, you know, look at CNBC or whoever has the ticker, and you can see that crude oil is over $100 a barrel, as opposed to $65, $70 a barrel a couple years ago. So that's going to be an influence on gasoline prices. And the crude oil price is set largely by both local demand and national and international demand. And even though gasoline is not gone up that much in the United States, gasoline demand has gone way up in the rest of the world, and of course that affects prices here. And there's also a factor in there that, you know, gasoline is all commodities, not just gasoline. Meat, all sorts of things that you buy have gone up, kind of a hidden cost of inflation that you don't see where the Fed's regulate interest rates in the country, but you see that come out in the form of inflation as far as commodities. I would point out, Bob, that it's hundreds of different prices around the country. Actually, I'm in Florida right now, taking a little vacation, and gasoline prices are much higher here than they are in Illinois. And the reason for that is that we use crude oil from all sorts of different places that is priced a lot of different prices. In Illinois, actually, without our partnership with Canada, and oil sands oil and all these things we've talked about before, prices in Illinois would be even higher than they are right now. Oil sands oil sells for a lower price than the world price, and here on the East Coast, prices are even higher because of that. That's one reason it's a big story. You know, it's when gas prices go up in Illinois, it's not always a national story. When gas prices go up in Washington or New York, of course, then it's the most important story as well.
That conversation about gasoline brings us to number two in the countdown this week. What the heck is going on in Iran? And that's our focus next.
Digital distribution revolutionized the music industry to such an extent that it's still reeling from the transformative power of mass downloading. As the music industry adjusts to the rocking changes of the digital wave, the film industry is going through its own uncharted waters. Though not without hiccups, digital distribution met widespread success in the music industry. The digital revolution, however, has now shifted focus to the film industry with the dawn of Netflix, digital streaming, and video on demand. According to Peter Hoffman, CEO of Seven Arts Entertainment, there's never been a better time to be in on the movie industry. Seven Arts embraced the opportunity afforded by digital distribution and staged a digital release for their most recent comedy, The Pool Boys. A digital release via On Demand took place just days after the theatrical release. Seven Arts recognized the profitability of electronic delivery and the home video market. For more information on the changing movie industry, go to www.7artspictures.com.
History relegates lynchings to an era of civil rights injustices, when racial intolerance spawned crimes so hateful and politically charged that it divided a nation. Investigation Discovery's new special, The Injustice Files, at the end of a rope, looks at four mysterious hanging deaths that authorities have closed as suicides. But it examines whether those tragedies are the result of men taking their own lives or unthinkable acts of terror. Filmmaker Keith Beauchamp.
The Injustice
files investigates the circumstances surrounding each of these four hangings, including analysis on the available evidence, interviews with officials who led the original investigations, and testimony from families that believe these cases are shrouded in mystery. It shares the stories of families stricken by agony as they question if their loved one's death was an unthinkable hate crime, not simply suicide.
The Injustice Files, At the End of a Rope, premieres Tuesday, February 21st at 8 p.m. Eastern on Investigation Discovery.
Are your cable rates rising? Tired of being pushed around by your provider? It's time to push back. Cut the cable and get Dish installed with absolutely no equipment to buy. Here's the best part. Packages start at just $19.99 a month for an entire year. That's right. Call now and get Dish installed free. Plus HBO, Cinemax, Showtime, and Stars free for 3 months. If you call in right now, Dish will also throw in free HD for life. PMG Dish, a Dish authorized retailer, is waiting for your call and can have you watching TV as soon as tomorrow. Call 800-620-7970. Imagine all your favorite movies, sports, and shows in crystal clear digital quality for far less money, and you won't have to deal with the cable company anymore. At only $19.99 per month, they're practically giving it away. Call now for full details. Call 800-620-7970. That's 800-620-7970. Again, 800-620-7970. Limited time offer, prices, packages, and programming subject to change without notice. 24-month agreement required. Cancellation fees, auto pay, and paperless billing, and other restrictions apply. Call for details.
What do we want?
We dance!
When do we want them?
Now!
How do we want them?
With 20% off!
Where do we want it?
At Ace!
Let's go!
Come into Ace this Saturday and get 20% off almost anything that fits into an Ace bag. So stop by, fill your bag, and get your weekend back. At Ace, the helpful place. Discount is off regular priced in-stock merchandise that fits inside one bag. Good at participating stores February 25th only. One bag and offer per customer. Other conditions apply. See store for details.
It's a daily two-hour program and 3 hours encapsulating what's going on in the world of talk radio every week. Talk Radio Countdown Show with number two from the Iranian situation, a discussion Megyn Kelly had on Fox with Dor Gol, former Israeli ambassador to the UN.
It was our understanding that this was something that Israel very much feared, that Iran was essentially building this underground bunker, and that it would be more expansive and deeper than the international community would understand, and thus render somewhat ineffective any preemptive strike by the Israelis.
Well, I think the Iranians are showing their cards. You know, the old Natanz enrichment site, that has that's buried underground under about 30 feet of rock and soil. This new site at Fordow near Qom is roughly, as you said, 260 feet underground. It's in a mountain. And, of course, the Iranians want to enrich uranium to the 20% level. They say it's for medical isotopes. Well, if they need enriched uranium for medical isotopes, why do they have to bury it into a mountain 200 feet deep? This looks like a preliminary move, in my personal judgment, towards what's called nuclear breakout, when a country moves away from its obligations to the International Atomic Energy Agency and tries to establish quickly a nuclear weapons capability by having weapons-grade uranium.
As a practical matter, I'm not asking you to give up any, you know, Israeli military secrets, but as a practical matter, based on what's been reported already publicly, does Israel have the capacity to take out such a facility 265 feet below ground?
You know, again, maybe it's because of my training as a former ambassador. I don't like to speculate on what are called operational issues. So, you know, I really don't have a comment on that.
I want to speak to that. That's fine, sir. I understand that. I want to ask you about the latest reports out of Israel. Twofold. Number one, that more and more officials there are expressing their displeasure with the public statements by United States officials condemning or urging Israel not to attack Iran. That seems to be one theme that's emerging over there. They want Americans, the American generals and so on, to stop criticizing it. Number two, you tell me whether there is a split coming now within the highest factions of the government about whether Israel should be about to unleash a strike against Iran, because we read reports that President Shimon Peres is going to tell Barack Obama he doesn't believe Israel should do it, and whether that gels with how Netanyahu feels, how he feels.
Well, first of all, let's be very clear. Israel, like the United States, says all options are on the table. But, you know, the whole issue of Israel having to defend itself with force is an issue of last resort. We're hoping that these new intensified sanctions that the United States and the European Union have initiated might move Iran in a better direction, although we're frankly aware that sanctions take a long time. I mean, the sanctions that changed apartheid South Africa took 12 years. 12 years from now, Iran's going to have long-range rockets that can hit New York. So I don't think we want to wait 12 years, but we're going to give it a chance. And all that speculation is sort of going back and forth in the press. Let's focus on not having public statements by too many officials and focus on getting Iran to adhere to its international obligations.
Here's radio host Helen Glover talking to Mark Genest from the Naval War College about the saber rattling being done by Iran and how much of a threat they actually do pose to us and others.
Iran is threatening some preemptive action against their enemies as we hear that they're angry about these embargoes that the UK and the rest of the EU is going to put on them. So they're cutting their output of oil, which is, of course, causing some panic through the Middle East. Saudis cutting their output. We're seeing gas prices at home go up. And a lot of us remember those gas rationing days back in the early to mid 70s.
Yeah, Iran is simply doing a little saber rattling of its own, sending out a message that, you know, if you are going to try to punish Iran, Iran can fight back in many other ways. It's doing simply what a country would do if it felt it was under siege. So these are, you know, natural things that you expect the Iranians to try to do to dissuade others from ratcheting up the sanctions.
How does this compare to what President Kennedy was facing back in the days of the Cuban Missile Crisis when, you know, those missiles were aimed, you know, right at the United States and there was this big toe-to-toe with Khrushchev? I mean, it seems like we're at that point now, but I don't hear a lot of talk about, you know, this president said that he would talk directly to the Iranians. What has changed?
Well, what has changed is that the missiles aren't aimed at us. They're aimed at Israel, our ally. So what makes it more problematic is they have more actors involved, and Israel is much more difficult to manage than for Kennedy to manage her own forces. So in many ways, it makes it much more dangerous and much more likely to, for things to go out of control. So it is something to be very concerned with. On the other hand, it's not at crisis proportions yet for the United States, and the Obama administration has been repeatedly telling the Israelis that this is not the right time to strike. And look, for all intents and purposes, we are at war with Iran. I mean, let's make no mistake about it. Israel and the United States, in a combination of covert and overt actions, is in a undeclared war with Iran. And it's a low-level conflict that includes economic sanctions, covert operations, assassinations. This is what we call a low-level war. And if we can keep it at that level, because that's the smartest thing to do, we don't want it to expand because then it gets too dangerous. But there's no question about it that we're in a conflict with Iran right now.
From MSNBC, Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough talked to Richard Haass, former president of the Council on Foreign Relations, about negotiations and sanctions with Iran and whether there's a chance that either of those things will make a difference.
So Richard also says in the Wall Street Journal that it's in the American interest to pursue a negotiated outcome to the impasse with Iran. So that's I don't think everyone feels that way, but that I'd like to hear more.
Current policy is essentially sanctions plus clandestine things to slow down the Iranian nuclear program, and whatever progress we're making, that alone is not going to do it. They continue to make progress. The two principal alternatives are either going to war, which is a risky and expensive business, or living within a world where Iran potentially has nuclear weapons, also a risky and expensive business. So what we're suggesting, I wrote this piece with my colleague Michael Levy, is that we add something to the current vinegar, if you will, to the sanctions. We offer some honey. And we basically say to the Iranians, here's a negotiated possibility. We're not trying to humiliate you, but we're looking for a reasonable negotiated outcome where essentially you would agree to very intrusive, tough inspections, and there would be real limits on what you can do in
the
area. Pardon me?
And what's the honey?
The honey is desanctioning. That if you agree to this, there would be desanctioning. You would get relief from this latest series of sanctions, which have dramatically weakened your economy, have hurt your currency really badly, have made imports extraordinarily expensive.
But they won't do that, will they, any more than
We don't know. I think it's too soon to say that. And one of the reasons also we argue to make it more likely they do it is we make it public. We force them to defend to the Iranian people. Why is it they've embarked on an expensive course of action when they have a reasonable, fair alternative? We're not trying to humiliate Iran. No one is saying you do not, quote unquote, have a right to enrich. But there are real limits on what the Iranians can do. And there's basically a trade-off here. The more you want to do in the nuclear area, the more you have to open yourself up to intrusions and inspections. That's the trade-off.
That leaves us with number one. Who's running for president? The GOP side. Next on the countdown.
So you're a maker of something. Woodcrafts, fishing lures, glass designs, jewelry, purses, perfumes, goat's milk, soap. Whatever it is, you made it here in America. Now you're eager for people to buy your products right here locally. Instead of buying competing products made on the other side of the world, right? Then you need to check out localmakers.com. Support America. Buy and sell locally at localmakers.com. Doesn't matter if you're a home-based business or a major manufacturer. Localmakers.com offers an easy way to connect with customers within your local community, as well as across the U.S., simply by entering a zip code. And there's no cost to join. So if you're a maker who needs buyers, go to localmakers.com and stock your products on one of our shelves. Localmakers.com, promoting, preserving, and supporting your neighbor's manufacturing businesses.
Listeners are discovering a simple way to earn money. We're talking quit your nowhere job and work from home type of money. IncomeAtHome19.com has come to us for listeners who want to work from home. Listen to this.
I have to tell you, it's the best decision that I ever made because we replaced my income and my husband's income. This business has allowed us to quit our jobs and we're both at home full time and loving it. Best decision I ever made.
Listeners, IncomeAtHome19.com is A-plus rated for their business ethics. They're affiliated with a multi-billion dollar company and they do business in over 75 countries. No selling soap, no pressure, no cold calling. They bring money-making opportunities to your computer, either full or part-time. If you're ready to make a change and start earning money from home, go to IncomeAtHome19.com now. They're even giving away $1,000 to someone just for checking them out. Visit IncomeAtHome19.com. IncomeAtHome19.com. That's IncomeAtHome19.com.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Yes, number one once again this week. Countdown focusing on the 2012 race. Here's host Ray Appleton talking to James Homan from Politico.com about Rick Santorum and the damage he may have done to his campaign at the debate this past week.
For those people looking for a big Rick Santorum show, they probably didn't get it, did they? Would you agree with that statement?
They did not get it. I would totally agree. And in fact, I would tell you, I've been following all 20 of the debates now we've had this cycle, and I haven't seen the kind of consensus that we're seeing this morning that Santorum lost the debate. On the conservative media, from the editor of National Review to the mainstream media, you know, everyone's winners and losers. Santorum was the loser, and not in a huge way, but in a way. And this is a moment where he really needed to step it up. This was the first debate so far this cycle where he has been the center of attention, and he came across as unduly defensive. And on issues that he should have been strong on, he was weak, like abortion. On issues he was weak on, like earmarks, he dwelled at great length and offered good technical defenses of his positions. But the kind of answers that aren't going to help him win conservative votes ahead of the critical primaries next Tuesday in Michigan and Arizona.
I tell you what bothered me a little bit is how he positions himself as a, you know, immovable, hardline conservative centered on his core values. He will not compromise in any way, shape, or form. That's how he paints himself. And then this admission last night that he voted for No Child Left Behind, something he didn't agree with, but he went along with the team. That did not set well.
Yeah, not at all. And I'll tell you what, you know, what's funny is each of the four candidates was asked to give a one-word description of themselves, And Santorum's word was courage. And literally, minutes after he said that, he was explaining what you just said, which is that he disagreed with No Child Left Behind, but he voted for it because he wanted to be a team player. And that, you know, he talked about his endorsement of Arlen Specter, who's a pro-choice Democrat, who, you know, became a Democrat, because he wanted to get the right people on the Supreme Court. He talked about how he went along with the Medicare prescription drug benefit, even though he was concerned about it being a massive expansion of entitlements. So I think what happened was Mitt Romney and Ron Paul sort of together raised real doubts about just how conservative Rick Santorum is. And that's a huge problem for him, because the best thing he has going for him when you look at polls and when you talk to voters is that sense of what you said, that he has conviction, that he's a consistent conservative who may not do always what's politically popular, but will always take the conservative position.
Now, some talk radio caller reaction to the possibility that there will be no decision on a Republican nominee by the time the convention rolls around later this summer.
Romney's going to crush. He's going to win. It's over. You know, the right-wingers are going to cry, and they're going to, you know, try to get everybody to get upset, but it's over. Santorum needs to stand down.
I'm for a broker convention. I'd really like to see Jeb Bush get in there. And I don't think either of these guys, that Romney or Santorum or Paul or Gingrich, can really make a good candidate against Barack Obama. The economy is kind of slowly turning around there, and I don't see where they could have a good argument about him doing such a bad job there and on his foreign policy there. He's done pretty good over there of keeping us safe. So I really like to see old Jeb Bush getting in another Bush. I think he'd do a better job than his father and his brother.
There's a lot of things that's going on here that I can't understand. Number one, I haven't heard one of them candidates talk about the inflation that we have in this country today that was caused by the government itself. The inflation that we have in the fuel. Nobody's talking about the fuel. Bring the fuel down to where it belongs, which caused another inflation. I went to the market the other day and they were $29.99 for a pound of filet mignon.
I'm a Ron Paul supporter, and I really can't understand how people have been complaining in the Republican Party for 30 or 40 years about government is getting bigger and more intrusive. Now they finally have a candidate that's willing to slash all this barnacles we've acquired in the last 30 years, and they just pass right over him. And I think it's sad that the only hope Mr. Paul has of making a dent in this problem is to have a brokered convention and be able to make a speech. It would be a wonderful thing if somebody made him his vice presidential nominee or something.
All right, so let's review once again the most talked about topic this week on talk radio, issue-oriented talk radio, political talk radio, is who's running on the GOP side. Back to number 10, Jeremy Lin, the NBA, beginning of the baseball warm-ups. Number 9, the follow-up on Whitney Houston's dying. The Stolen Valor Act is number 8. Number 7 is the Greek bailout. Number 6, the president's corporate tax reform plan. Number 5, violence in Syria continuing. Afghanistan's number 4. Rising price you're paying for gasoline is number 3. The pursuit of nuclear weaponry, number 2. And the presidential race, number 1. This week's Talk Radio Countdown Show.